The Art of Repositioning in Pressure Ulcer Prevention. Stick around. Hello out there. Welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck. I am an attorney, and I will be your host for this particular episode. This week, we have an exceptional topic. We have an exceptional guest. We'll be talking to Dr. Abdulkareem Eblazi about essentially the science and, dare we say, the art of repositioning as it pertains to preventing pressure injuries. So if you have watched this or listened to this podcast in the past, you know we've dealt with pressure injuries on many occasions. If you want a refresher before listening to today's episode, I would recommend going to probably episode 121, where we talk about five ways to prevent pressure injuries, where we do get into repositioning a little bit, not like we do today, but from a general standpoint. Also, maybe 151, which was comprehensive pressure ulcer prevention in nursing homes. Great episodes. Those are just two. We've had several episodes dealing with this, but I would recommend that you go check that out if you want to learn more about preventing pressure injuries in nursing homes. All right, now it's time for the Nursing Home Regulation Question of the Week. Under 42 USC 483.21B2II, and that's the Comprehensive Care Plan portion of the regulations, who is required to be a part of the interdisciplinary team that develops the Comprehensive Care Plan, irrespective of the resident's specific needs? In other words, what position is required to be on the interdisciplinary team for every resident? Is it A, the physical therapist, B, the social worker at the time of admission, or C, a nurse aide that has responsibility for the resident? Which one of those three is required to be on the interdisciplinary team according to the federal regs? The answer is C. You're right. The nurse aide. A nurse aide who has some type of responsibility at some point for that resident must be a part of the interdisciplinary team that comes up with the actual comprehensive care plan that's used for that resident. So if you got that right, it's 100 points, and we're keeping up with this week by week. Okay, so if you didn't get that one right, then, you know, we got to hit the books. Go get the watermelon book. All right, now it's time for the ChatGPT joke of the week. Again, gentle reminder, folks, this is AI's attempt to blend humor with the United States Code. Set your expectations accordingly. Gene, cue up the jingle.
The ChatGPT generated nursing home regulation joke of the week.
Skynet.
Nursing homes are inspected annually, unless there's a major complaint. It's like saying, we'll check if the bridge is safe, unless it collapses first. Hey, maybe they're trying to match the inspection frequency with the residents' birthdays. It's the only thing happening annually in there that doesn't end up in a citation.
There you have it, folks. Again, ongoing proof that the singularity is many years off. All right, so without further ado, we are going to get into the substance of this week's episode. Again, talking about the art of repositioning and pressure ulcer prevention. So we are talking about the art of repositioning in terms of pressure injury prevention. We are doing that with a special guest, Dr. Abdulkareem Eblazi. Dr. Eblazi is an accomplished healthcare professional with a distinguished academic background. He earned his Bachelor of Nursing from Jordan University in 2005 and a Master's in Nursing Service Administration in 2009. Dr. Eblazi furthered his education by obtaining a PhD with a university in Thailand. With the wealth of experience, Dr. Eblazi has contributed significantly to the healthcare sector. He has served in various capacities, including roles as intensive care nurse, infection control specialist, and wound care manager. In addition to his clinical roles, Dr. Eblazi has made substantial contributions to academia. As an assistant professor in Jordan, he plays a pivotal role as part of the EWS team focusing on hospital operations and healthcare system reform in Qatar, and in the Gulf region. And we are so happy to have him, his experience, and his knowledge here with us today. Dr. Blasi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for this kind invitation.
Well, I just want to kind of jump right into it. I know that at least in the nursing homes that I've come across and the residents that I've come across, the prevention of pressure injuries is typically paramount. It's like one of the more critical categories of health that we're really worried about. And when we always talk about the prevention of pressure injuries in nursing home residents, the primary category of prevention interventions is always repositioning. So that's why I'm so glad that you're on to talk about this. So kind of from like a broad standpoint, how can repositioning help prevent pressure ulcers or pressure injuries in the first place? What does repositioning do to the body that would prevent that from happening?
Yes, thank you very much for this question. I think this is a good start. We learned a lot about the importance of making reposition to prevent pressure injury or pressure ulcer. But here in nursing, we should stand point on two important factors. First, since the time of Florence Nightingale, the reposition is something important. She had in her talking about the reposition, and it's apart from the standard of nursing care. But always we have the fact that we know how to prevent pressure ulcer, but the pressure ulcer is not prevented. Still, it's happening. Still, we have cases that report happening of pressure injuries. This is the first part. The second gap is how we define the reposition. And this is, I think, important for us when we are looking for the nursing context or knowledge about how we are going to say what the meaning of reposition. And now we are living in the AI era, right? So if I put all this information that we have about repositioning in the context of pressure injury prevention, we found that, is it positioning or repositioning? Is it repositioning or positioning or change the patient position? Or is it moving? In the context of nursing literature, in many places, they put the two concepts together. They said positioning and repositioning, or moving and repositioning. So this indicates something, that we have some misunderstanding about the meaning of repositioning that we are referring to. As Michel Foucault said, we should first start to define what are the picture or the photo that I should see to say this is the repositioning. Here, the issue coming from the defect happened between the standards and the compliance on the real practice. Mm-hmm. We know from the fundamentals of nursing and medical surgical box and so on, they will give you, and lip and cut, whatever, they give you an strict 1, 2, 3, 4, what should be done. And these steps are the best methodology to prevent the pressure injury from happening. But when we come to the real practice, the pressure injuries already happened. So what's the problem? I think it's part from my viewpoint that there are a problem from transferring the actual of the repositioning to the practice. And the issue related to this transfer, it's coming part from it related to how the nursing literature or the knowledge deal with the repositioning and how the nurses understand the repositioning. That's why we come now to the compliance. We need a couple of nurses agree on the same time to do the same procedure. And this procedure should be repeated frequently on the same standard. But this is not happening. And this makes the repositioning as the weak corner among the system of preventing pressure ulcer. It's a human-based intervention. Until now, there are a lot of trials among the manufacturers to build a new system that help nurses. Also, it's heavy intervention. It required muscular and it required coordination. So all your body working while you're doing the repositioning. Not the same time while you are doing health education or while you are maybe preparing the medication, you're providing a lot of efforts. And the third one is need a specific kind of cooperation teamworking until it happened. So there are several parts that make the repositioning need further focus of how we will match all these circles together to make the repositioning happening in the proper way. This issue of definition and issue of practice, then our point about the compliance. If we are talking about a nurse had a 12-hour duty, so based on the common nursing standard, and say this is common, a lot of discussion scientific about it, but this is what the practice, at least we have it in the Middle East, that every 2 hour the patient in risk for pressure injury should have the repositioning. Now, do you think the quality of repositioning from the first episode that the nurse do it similar to the last repositioning do it before end of the duty? And any defect can happen among each one of these, it make or means the pressure injury is going to happen. Whatever we are doing or trying, defining the concept and defining the compliance of making, this is what we are looking for. And I think this is what we should provide further about.
Sure. Okay, well then tell me about that. Like what how do we define repositioning then? Like what's the difference between repositioning and then moving from side to side? Like tell me about that. And then I guess that's important in the sense of what you're saying, that there's might not be congruence between what the nurse did at 12 a.m. and the nurse is going to do at 2 a.m. when they come back. So kind of expound on that a little bit.
Now, if we make further focus to what already the repositioning had from inside, we will see 5 main components working together until the repositioning as a concept had already realized. The first stage, what we call it the B or preparation stage, and this is when the nurse realized the need for repositioning. So the patient had the assessment tools, whatever, et cetera. And the nurse put it among the plan for doing the repositioning. And then we come to turn. So the current science defined between the repositioning as the bigger umbrella and a component within this umbrella, which is the turning. So the turning is apart from the repositioning, but cannot replace the meaning of repositioning because we need the plan for it, and then we will go for turning, and we need the harmonization, I call it, because anyway, I study in Thailand, so I put it this is P Thai or P, then THAI. The second component is harmonization between the nurses. The repositioning required this kind of harmonization. And after that, we come to the third component, I call it ensure or make sure that the patient in the proper position that we would like this patient to stay among the coming time. And the I or the information, which apart from documentation. If we are able to fix all these cycles among our practice, that means we reach the meaning of repositioning that we are looking for. Any defect in any part from this one, that means there are a part from the body or organ already under the pressure, and that means this will lead for pressure injury. A lot of nurses, this is a misconception happen among the repositioning. The first misconception is that we are in general looking forward, you know, the marshmallow experience. We are looking for the current result, the motivation for the nurses or the motivation for people in general that when we do something, then we see the result directly. In the reposition, the pressure injury, when it happens, maybe it takes 3 days until it's discovered. So when we come to say that patient now develops pressure injury, maybe the defect that happened from the prevention, not from today, but it's backward and it cannot be detected or very hard for us to detect. So this make part or the sense of the nurses that we are doing this and there is no result from what we are doing. This is and a defect happening among the pressure. Injury prevention related to the repositioning or how we practice the reposition. The second is how we are dealing with the repositioning among the other context, which is the big context of pressure injury prevention. As we are doing air mattress, or we applied already the air mattress or the offloading mattresses for the patient. So misconception can happen for the nurses that, okay, so we already doing what we should do. And when we are start to weight the repositioning among the other nursing intervention, in general, our nurses are very, very busy. And we have a lot of patients and the workload is every time increasing up and up. So the nurses, even unintentionally, they will come in the economic mind to say that which is more important than which, giving the medication now or postpone the repositioning. Because I'm working in a hospital, so maybe the doctor come and this is the doctor round. So what about postpone the repositioning a little bit? And this postpone can be within the busy, busy day of nurses, it can taking to the consequences of delay the actual repositioning. So I think still defining the repositioning among these five cycles, which is preparing, turning, harmonization, ensuring, and information or documentation, among the need for compliance and consistency in compliance, make and a consequence regarding to the how we provide the quality of care, or the most complicated issue is how we to measure this intervention. In the quality world, the focus always on the result. So they focus on how much, how many patients develop pressure injury per month or per week or per day, whatever. But there a defect in measuring the process of prevention. And in the process of prevention, we found that Braden or whatever the assessment tool that already used. So is it done or not done? So it's clear. So I can measure the process here. Is the offloading mattresses or offloading devices applied? So is it yes or no? So it's easy to be catch. But when we come to repositioning, which one that I should catch? It's complex, it's long, and it's only left for the people whom already providing this intervention, whom are the nurses. It's something individualized. When I come to ask or measure the repositioning compliance, I make some researches. I wanted to measure the repositioning compliance. It's really a complex issue. Which repositioning compliance that I will measure? What about my presence as a manager or quality in front of nurses while they are doing the repositioning? So what about the Hortho effect? Or they change their own behavior because they saw me already. What about if I will rely on their memory? This is normal intervention, so the people don't recognize how many times they do it in this way. And what about the changes or daily changes or minute-to-minute changes that happen during the nursing duty? This what make the repositioning, I think, did not take its weight among the pressure ulcer context and the need to have more focus and support for the people who are doing this work. I mean, we come to a lot of studies or researches all over the world that discuss about the importance of pressure injury prevention, right? There are a lot, always, maybe on daily basis. And all of them focus on several interventions and methodologies and bundles to prevent the injury from happening. When they come to the repositioning, you see that there is need to have much more focus. Or let's expand the idea and see exactly how this already applied on the world. Why? We can count now a lot of universities or educational institutes making researches about pressure injury prevention. And you discover that at the beginning of the study, the situation was not satisfactory. Then they make intervention. Then the result already gave to be satisfactory. After 1 year, another researcher come to make the same study and the repositioning was not satisfactory. So the sustainability of this one also means we need to explore the factors, make our intervention, maybe the problem in the knowledge or in the way that we lead for this issue that unable to sustain. In this way, we need to explore more what we mean by repositioning and where is the problem happen when we apply what we mean on the prevention of pressure injury.
Sure. Okay, well then let's talk about that then. Like what are the specific ways in which this process can be integrated in the nursing process? Like what are the specific positions? What are some of the mechanisms that we can use to make sure that it gets accomplished in the way that you're talking about? And again, just for the audience's sake, I'm linking in the show notes the link to Dr. Ablasi's paper, Repositioning Practice of Bedridden Patients, an Evolutionary Concept Analysis, that you can read. And you can actually, it really goes into depth, like we've been talking about, or Dr. Ablasi has been talking about the essentially, and this is like new to me. I've been doing this for a long time, but basically breaking down the process of turning and repositioning when he was talking about pre-turn, turn, the harmonization. Super interesting read in that article. So I really would stress that everybody go and check that link out. And with that, I'm sorry, I'll hand it back over to you, Dr. Ablasi, in terms of like specific positions. How can we integrate this in nursing?
Yes, thank you very much. And this will lead us to the next or the most influential part within dealing with the repositioning. You know, our target or our role now as people interested to help patients or support the pressure injury prevention, on the same time, understand the nursing phenomena related to repositioning practice itself. While we already discovered this gap, so what is the next? What are the proper solutions that should take it in this gap? There are factors related to patients. We know that the idea or algorithm, the same like in the BLS or in ACLS, they have algorithms. So if I saw some signs and symptoms among the patient, I will know what I should do. I think this also a responsibility among the scholar to start to deal with the repositioning in an algorithmic way. Maybe in a patient in under specific condition or parameters, the 2 hours is not enough gap for the repositioning. We need to expand it or increase maybe the part from the hypotension, a fever, the clinical sign of symptoms require us to make a decision. On the same time, there are other patients, 2 hours is so much annoying for them. They can't tolerate 2 hour and a half or 3 hours or even 4 hours, as Dr. Dimitri Beckman said, that it depends on the patient condition. Dr. Given, he making a study about the biomechanical mechanism of the cellular, and it depends on the weight and the age and even genetic factors. So let's start first to define the repositioning on this algorithmic way. And the second one is equip the nurses with the ability to make the proper decision based on the patient need. So we transfer the repositioning from the normal standardization way that we already know, and we deal with the repositioning as intervention, and you should do 1, 2, 3, 4, the same like we're doing with the hand hygiene or medication administration, to be individual based on the patient care. And this, we come here to transfer what is already on theory to make it as we know the algorithmic way of the repositioning, and at the same time, we equip the nurses by the knowledge and information, and then we come to prevent or assure the repositioning is already applied in a proper way. Maybe I'm optimistic, but we already, for example, here in the Middle East, the nurses should renew their own PLS course every 2 years. Why we don't have a renew course for at least the geriatric nurses or the nurses deal with the bedridden in ICU in repositioning course every 2 years and build the evidence based on the changes that will happen in the pressure injury prevention. In this way, we are able to transfer what we are discussing now from the theoretical base to the applied base. And we start to listen for the people, what are the problems that they have during this application for the procedure. A lot of studies discussed the, let's say, the opportunities to improve the nursing practice. But limited number of studies focused on the most heaviest nursing intervention or one of the most heaviest nursing intervention, which is the repositioning. I think this may be optimistic solution or future-based solution, but this what we are in need because now the geriatric population increased. Now we have a lot of bedridden patients coming from the RTAs and the wards and injuries and so on. So the pressure on further and further to have a proper strategies to prevent pressure injuries. And when we come to the understanding of the impact of the pressure injury, the long impact of failure to prevent the pressure injury, you will see a massive catastrophic results that coming from this small defect happening here and there. Now, we come to these interventions. The third part is related to the organization. And let's to ask that Is it part from the hospital license or the hospital standardization that they will have repositioning aid to support the nurses with the patients? Until now, for example, we're talking about Middle East in general, this is not apart from the required facilities that the hospital should have, the lifting devices, the assistant bed that can support the repositioning. And even now, there are a lot of studies follow and track the patient moving. And in this way, by the AI, they are able to know, like, for example, for the chief nursing or director of nursing or head nurse or charge nurse, that this patient did not take in a proper way of the offloading. I think apart from what we are supporting is a start to push forward for these to be in a commercial use and applicable in the hospital. And after that, we come to say this is part from improving the practice or the compliance instead of just put the standards and say that, yeah, it's every 2 hours and that's it.
So if I understand you correctly, this process would benefit if there would, say, be a checklist, just like there is for like the Braden scale or the Morse-Fall scale, where an individual, okay, once we've established this person should be offloaded and turn repositioned, here's a checklist of how we're going to accomplish this, how the turn occurs, how the harmonization occurs, how we're going to manipulate this person's body on the support surface. And there's a checklist. Like, so if I hear you correctly, like, it's not enough to say this person needs to be turned repositioned. Even it's not enough to say they need to be turned repositioned every 2 hours. We have to really have a checklist and get into the specifics of how that's going to be accomplished.
Exactly. Because in this way, we want to protect the patient and the provider and the nurse. You know, let's think it in this way. For example, now we talk about the patient condition, right? Right. What about the nurse? Because of the busy world and the busy working day, she decided that she wanted to reposition the patient alone. What about her, the trauma that will come to her, the back pain that come to her?
Sure.
Even if the offloading happened, this is based on my concept analysis way, if the offloading happened for the patient, and we're sure that one nurse applied the reposition and the offloading happened for the patient, this is not a proper reposition because it's failed in the harmonization, which required two people to participate in making the offloading. And this also because we want to sustain the nurse as apart from the resources. If the nurse, after 1 or 2 days, she gets back pain or, yeah, so what is the benefit that we have? The proper way of dealing with the repositioning that will keep the patient safe and the nurse safe and sustain the intervention in a part. So I would love really to see a checklist that to be international, that assured by all that this is what should be done, and all the people or the scientific start to critique. Maybe this is a definition, this is part from my definition. Maybe this is not the correct definition or not the best. So always there is opportunity to improve. But this opportunity to improve should be applied and observed and edited based on the evidence. So this is the cycle that we need to have it for the repositioning.
That's I couldn't agree more. Well, Dr. Ablasi, in the last few minutes, can you speak a little bit about any recommendations that you might have for the family of a nursing home resident who is bedridden? Like, what are some of the things that you would tell them about repositioning, why it's important, or what they can do to monitor, make sure it's being done?
And you come to a very critical point. In fact, I participate with a home healthcare project in Saudi Arabia before, and we apply it. So we did not transfer it as a part from the recommendation, but I will tell you about what we already did. The pressure injury among the category of patients that we dealt with was catastrophic. It was very severe heart condition, and it was complicated. There are patients living in a rural area away from the large cities, so their own coming to the hospital was not easy. And even the home healthcare teams, when they are going to the homes, they have a lot of the problems. And the nature of or the lifestyle that we have in that area, usually they don't use beds. So the people try and think that either from the cultural or religion that if they sleep on the bed, so they are ground, not on the bed, on the ground direct, so they just put the mattress, and they will be much more closer to the earth, so the health will be better and so on. We transfer our idea from a category that we provide online course that explains step by step what are the pressure injury that should prevent it and how they can do the repositioning, and we photo make the videos and make it in a simple language for them in Arabic. And we start to distribute this on a USPs for them and send it by them to social media. And we start to follow up from the distance, the differences between what happened between this category and the second category. Of course, also we include the nutrition, the kind of mattress, how they will choose, because the patient, they will choose or they're able to buy or their case the mattresses that's suitable, how they will define what the suitable for them, just must go to the market and so on. The course was 4 hours. I was the one who did that course, and we give it for those patients. Now, the pressure injury among the total number of patients was 66% of the patient complained from those category of patients belongs to the home health care, to reduced after 1.5 years to 17%.
Wow.
And this was really a success story. I think at that time we already taken a recognition from the Minister of Health by this efforts that already done. Now, what are the recommendations we focused on? In fact, where is the patient will be much safe, in a home or a hospital? We don't have nursing homes, or this concept is not the same in the Middle East. The patient much safer in his home, within his family. The second question. Based on our family relation, that we have it in the Arabic world, the people are much more connected to each other. So if an elderly patient in a home, so all his sons and daughters and grandsons are helping him because he is something special, and this is part from the family connection. So the question was, why we did not use this instead of rely on the nursing time and the nursing cost, why we don't modify their own behavior to be tracking on this way? In one family, in one example, one elderly patient had 7 sons. And after they realize this part from the repositioning, they start to make a shift like a nursing shift. So each night, one of his sons come and sleep with his father. And after 5 years, anyway, he was CVA and he already passed away, but after 5 years, from the last injury he had, he was free of any pressure injury while he was totally bedridden at home.
Wow.
Only by using and reanalyzing this power and put it in a proper way. They love their own father. So why we did not teach them how they can express this love in the scientific way? So we teach them in a simple way the needs for the repositioning, what they should do, how they can apply the resources that we have, it, what are the kind of nutrition they can provide, and they change their own lifestyle. You know, those they change everything. That each week, one of them will be absent from his wife and kids and just take care of his father. And it's end with a scientific change that happened among this
sure.
this patient. Now, is this specific only because we are sitting in that area or in the Middle East? I don't think so. Whatever the situation that happened with a patient in their home, whatever the family, all the families love each other. And this is why we are families. But this love can be reorganized to provide what we are looking for. Because they are loving, right? So the love is it's endless power. And the love is that you should do what you should do, right? So just only inform them, demonstrate for them how this should be done. And I think they will continue and keep always looking for their own success and celebrate this success. And this is apart from how they can deal, because those patients already, they have the experience before the pressure injury. We follow up until the pressure injury healed. And after that, they know the target that we don't want to see this happening again. I, of course, not only the reposition, all the context of the pressure injury,
sure,
but
sure.
to position each part in the proper way, the nutrition of proper way,
yeah.
loading in the proper way, and the repositioning. Why the repositioning? We keep talking because this is the sustained intervention.
Right.
The nutrition, it's easy when they bring the suitable protein resources. And I think the guideline, anyway, we are waiting the new guideline until it's published, but until now we have, we're still in the 2019, it was clear the issues of the protein, carbohydrates, how they calculate, and now the formula, it's available in the market. The air mattress now, I think it's, you know, very doing very good job. The repositioning, this is maybe the sun that need more
Yeah. Well,
to work on.
I really very much appreciate that anecdote, that story at the end. That's great. And I like the concept of, you said, to reorganize the love. Like, that's, I think that's a good way to put it. Well, Dr. Ablazi, I really appreciate your time coming on the show and talking about repositioning, and just thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Really, I was so much happy to receive your email. And really, this will be an part or initial step, I think, for further cooperation and transferring the experience among the globe. And really, this is part from our professional responsibilities, and also it's supporting the humanity all over the globe.
Very good. Well said. Well said. Again, thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate your, I don't know how to say it, the enthusiasm. So I really appreciate that. And once I get everything set up, maybe we'll do another episode.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to see you again and have this kind from our responsibilities to make sure that this, what we think or feel that important, and the others also start to believe on the importance of repositioning in the pressure injury context.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Blasi. I'll be in touch with you. And I guess thank you to all the audience there as well. All righty. See you later.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.